The reading is from Mark. After John was turned in, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming God's good news. His message went, "The time is up. The empire of God is arriving. Change your ways and put your trust in the good news." As he was walking along by the Sea of Galilee, he spotted Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting their nets into the sea, since they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll have you fishing for people." And right then and there, they abandoned their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he caught sight of James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, mending their nets in the boat. And right away, he called out to them as well, and they left their father Zebedee behind in the boat with the hired hands and accompanied him.
The year was probably 1985, 1986. Beverly and I were sitting in the study of Reverend Francis Horner, and I had just started to attend White River Presbyterian Church in Auburn, Washington. Bev had been going and been wanting me to go to church. I shared that a few weeks ago. And one of the first things we attended was a class that Francis held in his study. And he asked the class, if God called us to change our lives, to leave our nets and follow, would we do it? And I don't really remember what other members of the class had said, but when it came around to our turn to answer, both of us said, "Sure." And we have laughed at that a lot since then, about how young and naive we were, and yet charmingly adventurous. Maybe I felt safe saying that, as I doubted God would ever call me to do anything anyway. Yeah, sure, if God calls me, I'll go. But sitting in that class has really been one of the defining moments of our marriage. It's something both of us look back to, both surprised at the other's reaction, and both of us delighted that each of us had picked an adventurous mate. We have left our nets in different ways throughout our marriage to follow uncertain calls. Uncertain in a couple of ways. Is this really a good thing to do, a call from God, or is it something else? And uncertain in terms of how we would manage this leaving of nets and following. I continue to hope in my life and in our shared lives that we would never become so entangled in our nets that we would refuse the invitation to follow the call of Spirit. I had the honor on Friday of officiating at the graveside service of Charlene Hawkins. And earlier in the week, I'd met with Alan and Michael and David and Chuck in my study. And Alan told me about his life and his ministry with Charlene. Leaving a good job with good pay, taking teenage boys across several states to go to Bible college to prepare for the ministry. And as Michael put it, it was all hands on deck for the family at that time to support each other. And I was inspired by their story. A couple of times, Alan was offered an out to take a secular job with higher pay and opportunity, but he turned it down. He and Charlene truly had felt a call, and he felt his response was to trust in the one who called him. Alan told me of their various adventures in ministry, mostly throughout California, and the places that they had served together, and of course their shared struggle through Charlene's early onset of Alzheimer's disease, which was yet another call for Alan to leave his nets and be by her side through it all until her baptism was complete just 9 or 10 days ago. And I asked Alan if he had ever looked back thinking he might have taken one of those secular job offers. Moving from pulpit to pulpit isn't always the easiest thing to do. But he shook his head and he smiled. "No," he said. They trusted that God would make a way for them, and God had. So it was obvious that Alan and Charlene had found their vocation. Author Frederick Buechner defines vocation in this way: the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Have you ever wondered what was meant when Mark's Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'll have you fishing for people"? A fairly common interpretation is an evangelistic one, catching people, you know, saving people, making them Christians and so forth. But being caught in a net like a fish doesn't sound pleasant. Jeremiah uses this metaphor. In fact, when we think of a scripture passage, we might look at how other messages or how the metaphor was understood. And for Jeremiah, catching people in nets wasn't a good thing. He says, "For scoundrels are found among my people. They take over the goods of others like fowlers. They set a trap and they catch human beings." For Jeremiah, catching people was not a good thing. It's what scoundrels do. So was Jesus calling his disciples to be scoundrels? To trap people, take their goods? Well, that might be hard to imagine, but opponents of Jesus and his disciples might have thought of them that way. They were kicked out of towns, accused of being possessed by demons, of being gluttons and drunks, and of course we know what happened to Jesus. Later in Jeremiah, the metaphor of fishing and catching people is turned around. In this case, Yahweh is angry with the people of Israel who are treating others unjustly. And this is Jeremiah 16:16. "I am now sending for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall catch them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks." In this case, Yahweh is sending out fishermen and hunters to catch the bad guys. And this is even more clear in Amos, when the prophet speaking for Yahweh says to those who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, "The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, this time is surely coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks." So you definitely don't want to be a fish. Finally, in Ezekiel 29, Yahweh tells the prophet to speak against Pharaoh in Egypt. "I'll put hooks in your jaws, make the fish of your channels stick to your scales. I'll draw you up from your channels with all the fish of your channels sticking to your scales." That's just gross. But the point is, it's rather an odd image for Jesus to use. Fishing or catching, that is, ensnaring people, is not a positive image in the Bible. Either it's used for bad people who ensnare good people, or it's used by as a judgment by Yahweh on those who have oppressed others. So Yahweh, through the fishermen, will catch them. Ched Myers, in his book, Binding the Strong Man, a political reading of Mark's story of Jesus, says that this call by Jesus is a call to these fishermen and women, as it turns out, to overturn an unjust social order. So a paraphrase of the invitation might go something like this: "Follow me, guys, and we'll catch some big fish. We'll drain the swamp." Now, it may not be that Jesus is calling disciples to save souls for Christ as much as an invitation to overturn an unjust social order. Of course, as we continue to read Mark's gospel, we realize that what Jesus does is not always what we expect. The disciples often don't know what they've gotten themselves into. The radical ways of Jesus include healing, feeding, embracing, calming storms, welcoming, forgiving, and ultimately loving those who would be considered his enemies, the big fish, with his own life. So maybe fishing for people is conversion in a way after all. But I'm going to leave that for you to ponder, because I want to turn back to the willingness of the disciples to leave their nets. Immediately, they abandon their nets and they follow him. In one case, two brothers, James and John, take off and they leave poor old Papa Zeb with the hired hands in the boat. Crazy kids leaving responsible employment to follow some long-haired cult leader. I mean, there is that, right? The passage can be uncomfortable for us when we think it might justify the young and impressionable following fads or kooks. And that brings up an important question about life. our lives, yours and mine, and the lives of those we love. Under what conditions do we leave our nets? And how do we decide? Who do we trust? What are our values that guide us? What are our principles? What, for us, really is life for? And to what or to whom do we hold on when it's uncertain? Those are huge questions. And those kinds of questions are what I think this invitation to discipleship opens up for all of us. And I can think of no better place to ask these big questions than in a spiritual community. Take a look around, really. Look around. Look at this. There's a lot of experience in this room. Joy, sorrow, success, mistakes, healing, feeling, feeding, embracing, calming storms, welcoming, forgiving, loving enemies. It's all here in our collective experience. People in this room have left their nets in many ways and followed a summons. There are many leaving their nets stories, that need to be told here. And they should be told. And they should be shared with others who are questioning and wondering. And those who are questioning should ask, how did that turn out for you when you left your nets? What did you see? What did you learn? Is it worth it? No one can provide the specific answer for us as to how or when we should leave our nets in search of the big fish. But we can be inspired, as I was inspired, by hearing Alan's story of his life with Charlene. Southminster is a treasure of stories. And even though leaving nets to follow is a decision that we each make in our own way, oftentimes, many times over, we don't have to decide alone. We have a community, and that gift of grace is sitting nearby. Amen.